No. And I don't think I am going to see The Danish Girl.
I probably won't either.
Yeah, I am going to see Steve Jobs.
I think he's a terrible actor.
Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah.
I think he's terrible. I think he just is overrated. And I don't think he should have won last year for Theory of Everything.
Not at all. That movie is a Lifetime movie.
I can't believe that he's not gay. That's like one of my great like, disappointments in life. I have this idea for a movie, actually.
I mean, he has to be gay, right?
I don't know. I don't think he's gay. I think he just is androgynous.
But I mean, does he have a public...
He's a wife.
Oh, he does.
I have this idea for a movie, though, that's like, it's him and Andrew Garfield, and they live together in London, and they're like, both like have depression, and it's like the two of them in the winter, and they wear like really nice...
repressed homosexual men.
They're not even repressed homosexual men, they're repressed heterosexual men.
Okay.
And they wear like really elaborate knit sweaters, and they just drink tea all day and cry, and that's like the whole movie.
What's the title of this movie?
I haven't titled it yet. I think it's called Woolen Tears or something like that.
I would see that movie.
I would too. I would watch that movie as a porn. So... I hope I make it one day.
The sequel to Notting Hill.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, we can talk about the Oscars if you want.
Want to do it? Let's talk about the Oscars.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kevin.
We really do have, like, panel prompts programmed into your voice.
Yeah.
What films or actors were you pleased to see nominated?
So I think, like, the most delightfully surprising Best Picture nomination is Brooklyn.
Sure.
Mostly because they never nominate movies about women as protagonists. And it's also, like, a really simple, like, old-fashioned movie. It's very romantic.
With deceptive complexity, though.
Yeah, with a few...
Subtle complexity.
It's kind of like it's like a sauce with, like, undertones of something.
Yes.
Like, it has, like, undertones.
The pill and the peanut butter.
Yeah. So that was, like, the most surprising and, like, delightful Best Picture nomination. Because I didn't predict that to get in.
Which is strange, I think... Just watching the trailer for Brooklyn, you're like, that's Oscar bait. And then I think when you sit through the movie, it's something much different.
Yeah, well, I think it's also, like, for me, it wasn't Oscar bait because it's about a woman.
Sure.
And if you look at, if you actually look at, like, the Best Picture nominations, particularly, like, in the last, like, 5 or 6 years, like, all the Best Picture winners of the last 5 years have male protagonists. Like, I think the last movie that won Best Picture that has a female protagonist is Million Dollar Baby. And
which
that was
2004.
Yeah, it was 11 years ago. So that, like, it's a long
it's very
time
long
ago.
Which, in, I feel as if sometimes if there's a very strong lead performance by a man, it will always connote a Best Picture
winner. I think that's totally true.
Meanwhile, I guess, but Blue Jasmine was nominated, like, at least
not for
the
Best Picture.
Oh, not for Best Picture. So that proves your point right there.
And if you look at the history, actually, like, and if you look at, like, who's been nominated for Best Actor and Best Actress, Best Actor, and this is the whole history of Oscars, normally lines up pretty well with who's nominated for Best Picture. And Best Actress is almost always in movies that, like, are only nominated for Best Actress and maybe, like, Best Screenplay.
Right. Room, obviously, is not...
Room is nominated for Best Picture.
Room is nominated for Best Picture, but that has a very slim chance of winning, or...
Slim chance. Brooklyn and Room aren't going to win.
Okay.
But it's good that they're in, though. Like,
right.
I think they're both good movies, and I was...
I think they're both great movies.
Yeah.
They were both in my top five for the year.
Yeah. They were... Brooklyn was in my top five. Room was, like, top 10, but...
Sure. Obviously, the third act of Room is much different than the first two acts, and I think it... It's very divisive in terms of, like,
I like the third
once
act,
they're
though.
Out of the room.
I like Joan Allen because she's in the third act.
Right. The William H. Macy character in Room is very, he's a bit simplified.
The other really good nominations are the Mark Ruffalo and Mark Rylance in supporting actor.
Right.
Mark Ruffalo's in for Spotlight, which I'm just so glad somebody from, like, that movie got nominated who wasn't Rachel McAdams. Because she doesn't do anything in it.
I wasn't a fan of Spotlight.
I like Spotlight.
Yes.
I thought it was really good. I mean, I think it's, like... I don't think it's going to be remembered forever, but I think it's a really, like, well-known
I've already forgotten
movie.
It.
You've already forgotten it. I remember it.
I just remember people coming into the room being like, this is huge, we found the priest. Every scene, I mean, the entire movie is tell, don't show.
Mark Ruffalo kind of talks like this.
Yeah.
It's like that, like, very...
Maybe I'll remember Ruffalo's, like, spastic performance where he lives in, like, a crack den.
Have you seen The Big Short?
I have seen The Big Short.
I feel like Mark Ruffalo in Spotlight and Christian Bale in The Big Short should, like, be in a movie together.
Yes, they should be.
Like, those
characters
too. Are, yeah. Yeah, those characters are very similar.
They are.
But I was happy he got in, and Mark Rylance in From Bridge of Spies is also, like, he's, like, the Daniel Day-Lewis of theater. Like, he's a very beloved theater actor.
Does he do a lot of movies?
No, it's, like, his, I think it's, like, his second one.
Wow.
But he's doing the voice of the BFG. In the adaptation. He's like Steven Spielberg's new... He's the Daniel...
His new muse?
He's his new Daniel Day-Lewis. I think he's a little less crazy than Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, I guess that's more manageable.
Yeah, like, it's more like you can handle it.
My happy surprises were, of course, Stallone, which I thought was justified.
He's going to win.
He should.
Yeah, he's going to win for Creed.
It's an amazing movie. Obviously, I'm very upset about the lack of nominees in every other category and how Stallone has kind of become this representative of as we said, systemic racism in Hollywood and white bias. But his performance in terms
he's of... He's really good in it.
Is incredible. Yeah. Like, he's so good. That's obviously the role he wrote himself to play.
Yeah.
And I thought Tom Hardy was great in Revenant, which I thought was a terrible movie.
I walked out.
Oh, I don't blame you. I was very close to walking out pretty much 30 minutes in. It's such an absolutely empty and didactic movie that doesn't know what it is at all. And this director has become sort of a pet for the Oscars is so strange to me. Like, his movies are pretty empty and, like...
They're all style.
The theme smashes you over the head, like, so hard and... I don't know. There's no subtlety in his directing, and how he became this, like, critical darling is kind of beyond me.
And every single movie he's ever made has gotten some kind of Oscar nomination. Every single one. So.
We'll never explain it. What was your good or bad... Maybe you did some good surprises. What were your bad surprises?
I guess, like, there were a lot of, like, snubs I was disappointed by. Okay. But there were not a lot of surprises this year. Like, I feel like most of the nominees, like... made sense in terms of, like, who was getting nominated on the circuit, like, who was coming out. But, like, I really thought that Lily Tomlin would get in for Grandma. She would actually be my pick to win this year. Like, I would vote for her for best.
What about I'll See You in My Dreams?
I didn't see that.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it good? I should go see it. And I thought Michael Keaton would win this year for Spotlight.
I mean, that Michael Keaton didn't win last year, you'd think there would be a corrective.
For Spotlight, and he's the best in show in Spotlight. Like, I think his performance is, like, by far and away the best one. So that was, like, a pretty, like, upsetting snub. But, like, I knew all this, like, the shit nominees were going to get in. Like, I knew Trumbo was going to get in. I knew The Revenant was going to have, like, a ton of nominations. Like, it wasn't a surprise. Like, I knew Danish Girl's gonna get in. The thing that actually pisses me off the most is the category fraud in supporting actress. Because, like, Rooney Mara and Carol is, like, not a supporting actress. Like,
she's the movie co-lead.
And actually, she has a bigger part than Cate Blanchett. And the movie is told from her point of view.
Well, we can assume that most people didn't see the movie, probably.
I know. Because she's the sub-lesbian.
Right.
And Cate Blanchett's the dominant lesbian.
The dom sub.
So, it's like... Well, because Jake Gyllenhaal got in for supporting for Brokeback because he bought...
Right, there's a precedent.
Right. that category, and Rooney Mara should be in Best Actress, but, like, not in Supporting Actress. And I've heard that Alicia Vikander is lead in Danish Girl, even though I haven't seen it.
Also haven't seen Danish Girl.
And she's gonna win. She's gonna win the supporting category.
Which is great. She's, like, 18, right?
I have no idea. I don't know nothing about her.
I mean, she's great in Ex Machina.
I haven't seen that. I gotta go see that.
That's a good movie, too.
Yeah. Oscar Isaac's in that, right?
Yes. He's very good. He should have been nominated. That's
a dazzling smile.
I mean, his smile's okay.
Yeah.
mine would be Spotlight for Direction, which I didn't think...
You weren't happy about it?
All the characters bled together for me in a way that, like, everyone's a hard-drinking, hard-researching newspaper man in the grand old model. And I just have absolute no... I mean, this is subjective, but I have no interest in that. I feel like it's such a trope to lean on, and the movie all seemed like a very bland sort of... Every character was even-keeled. And then there's that one very over-the-top Ruffalo scene.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we need to publish this. Yeah. This is huge. 94 priests. And it's... The movie... I mean, he obviously made The Cobbler. Maybe I'm biased.
Yeah.
But I enjoy his movies before that, and this one just seemed...
What are his other movies?
Win-Win with Giamatti.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is a great movie. But yeah, he seemed as if it was very, very bland, and then when the characters did go up, it felt very artificial to me.
Huh. I feel like it's a very, like, the direction is very low-key, but I admire the pace of that movie a lot.
Apparently the cinematographer was a documentarian
beforehand,
so you can really tell in terms of the shots and stuff. It's just, like, very, very drab.
Yeah, it's not, like, a well-photographed movie.
No.
And I was really upset that Inside Out didn't get in for Best Picture. That was my number one of the year. I would probably, like, if I did a top 10 list, Inside Out would be number one.
Okay. So mine was Brooklyn.
Brooklyn? Oh, yeah. We both have good taste.
Brooklyn is a great movie. The more you think about it, I think the better the movie gets. And it just covers as Inside Out does, just a wide emotional spectrum that most movies don't. Like, The Revenant has no emotion in it and has no emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Brooklyn's is, like, a 10 out of 10 in terms of EQ.
Yeah, it's very complex. Yeah.
I mean, and especially, like, the minor characters seem to have lives of their own and intelligences of their own that exist outside of the protagonists. And that's, like, you look for in, like, a smart-written movie. Like, the characters outside the main character have lives, too. Yeah. Probably, like... you did see Carol or did not?
I did see Carol.
You did see Carol. Like, maybe Rooney Mara's character, like, yeah, even if she's the sub, has a life of her own. Yeah. Like, opinions of her own.
If I were a straight man, I would want to be the guy from Brooklyn. Like, I would want to be...
I am that guy. That's why I like the movie.
No, good for you.
A hard scrabble Italian just trying to make it as a plumber.
But, like, with so much honor and, like, romance. Like, I was like, oh, God.
Just trying to find a nice Irish girl.
Yeah.
That's all you want. Your biggest snubs.
Michael B. Jordan for Creed.
Of course.
He should win. Like, he was the best actor of the year.
He should win.
And, like, so, and the best actor category this year is by far the worst category. Like, Matt Damon and Michael Fassbender are, like, the only even mildly acceptable nominations to me. Whereas, like, DiCaprio, like, Redmayne and Cranston are all terrible.
Put them in the trash.
Yeah, they're awful. So, I would have nominated Michael B. Jordan in Creed. I would have nominated Jacob Tremblay from Room.
Sure.
They campaigned him in supporting, but he's a lead. He's not a supporting actor.
He's literally the narrator of the movie.
Yeah, it's his movie. And I think that I might have put in Tom Hanks for Bridge of Spies. Or, I haven't seen 45 Years yet, but I've heard Tom Courtenay is really good. I really admire him a lot. So, I would reshuffle that entire category.
Certainly Martin Starr for I'll See You in My Dreams. He's excellent in that movie, as he is in Adventureland.
Love Adventureland.
I also love Adventureland. It's one of my favorite movies.
Do you think Blythe Danner should have gotten in for actress?
I do.
Yeah.
But I obviously really like Brie Larson. I think she should win.
I'm happy for her.
Yeah. She's a great actress. Short Term 12 is, like, one of the best movies from 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, it was 2013.
Yeah.
You got it right.
Thanks. Creed, obviously, in Best Picture, director, adapted screenplay, supporting actress.
I didn't like her. I would not like her. Yeah.
The FKA Twigs character with her beats.
I saw her in Dear White People, too, and I just think she's really...
That movie's terrible.
And I think she's a flat actress. Though I think, like, yes. To me, it's like Stallone and Jordan are, like...
I don't want to see these extremely talented young directors getting pushed into the studio system and having to make other people's stories.
But that's the only way. I also feel like that's the only way Hollywood's going to diversify, though.
Right.
If, like, directors like Ryan Coogler do these tentpole movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... We can talk about this later, but, like, it's not going to happen through the Oscars.
Obviously
it's going to happen. It's going to happen through Ryan Coogler directing Black Panther.
Yeah,
like, that's just the reality.
Which is sad.
Yeah,
but also at the same time, it's like Modest Mouse writing Float On. They can then finance, you know, the rest of their career and do super weird stuff. Or hopefully that's the end game, you know. Because Ryan Coogler hasn't made a weird movie yet, or a movie yet.
He's only made two.
But they're both excellent, and, like, he has a voice.
Yeah.
Even if I think, like, Fruitvale has a lot of issues.
He's also, I didn't realize he was 29.
Yeah, he's, like, not even 30 yet. Yeah, it makes you think, right?
Yeah, well, Orson Welles was 25 when he was Citizen Kane.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the education system was much stronger then.
There was no college.
Yes. say we did that. Who's your ideal host for the Oscars?
I have, like, really uncommercial choices.
Is yours Kanye West?
No. Oh, God.
Mine.
That would be awful. I would hate that.
Only because the Oscars is so pre-scripted now and everything is so, just preordained, and I'm not into it. So, obviously, having Kanye.
I would want, like, it to be an older, like, woman. Like, I would want Meryl Streep. I would want some combination of Meryl Streep and Diane Keaton, or Meryl Streep and Emma Thompson, or Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda.
Sure.
That would be my perfect Oscars.
Not Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
I think they already did the Globes.
No, they did, but I'm saying, like...
The Globes is, like, their thing now.
But it's, like, that's, like, the JV Oscars.
Yeah.
Who really wants to host the Globes, where they're giving The Martian Best Picture for a comedy. It's a psychotic award show.
Ricky Gervais was just so bad this year, so I'm hoping that they come back.
I should say that I don't watch the Oscars or the Golden Globes.
Okay.
I really only learn about them after the fact.
I keep a file of, like, what works this year, what they should implement next year.
Well, we're going to talk about that now. Like, how would you change... James Franco, Anne Hathaway again.
Not good.
Second.
I actually think Anne, if they paired her with someone better, could do it, because I think that she's a natural ham. I just think James Franco is
natural.
Toxic.
Channing Tatum, I think, would also be...
Oh, he would be great, actually.
He obviously can dance and sing and do the stupid, like, Neil Patrick Harris things they want you to do, but in a less sort of cheesy and Midwest way.
And he comes across as highly bisexual.
Yeah.
Which is a good
very important in terms
quality
of the Oscars.
For an Oscar host.
Kanye, not so much. Although he does apparently...
I think he comes across a little bisexual.
Well, he does like butt stuff, apparently.
Yeah. new news. Good to know for my future plans.
Yes. How would you change the Oscars fundamentally, structurally, to improve it as a television event? Obviously, after every Oscars, the whole thing is, it was too long, it was boring, the speeches were either rehearsed or cut short.
But to me, that's like, the speeches are like the best part of
right.
the Oscars.
Okay.
So
emphasize those.
Yeah, I think, like, it should stop trying to be what it is. Like, it is a movie award show where they award a lot. Most of it is technical categories. Like, most of the Oscars
majority,
is, like, tech. Costume, production design, cinematography.
Makeup.
And so it's, like, I think they should just be what they are. Like, what I have a lot of resistance to is, like, when they try to do something that's, like, not relevant. Like, when they bring in Lady Gaga to, like, sing a song.
10 years after the fact.
Yeah, or, like, when they do, like, weird montages of, like, we're celebrating heroes this year for, like, no
trying
reason.
Trying to thematize the Oscars has never worked, because obviously the year with the artists, they're, like, back to old-time Hollywood.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I think it should just be about the movies. Like, if they... Some years they actually don't even have clips for the acting nominees, and that's, like, my biggest pet peeve. Like, when there's, like, no clips when they're, like, announcing the nominees, I go wild. Like, that drives me crazy. Like, you have to show clips from the movies. You have to also explain all the tech awards. Like, the best years are when they do, like, kind of, like, visual demonstrations of the
right.
costumes, or they, like, explain, like, what an editor does. Like, I think that stuff is really important. I also think they should bring back the honorary Oscars. They used to do those during the ceremony, and now they're separated. But, like, the other day I was watching Robert Altman get his honorary Oscar, which was part of the ceremony, and, like, it's, like, beautiful. It's, like, one of the best Oscar moments. And, like, if you watch Charlie Chaplin get his honorary Oscar, he gets, like, a 4-minute standing ovation.
Right.
And it's incredible.
These are moments that they're obviously missing out on in lieu of, like, having James Franco do a song and dance routine. It's not what the Oscars is about. My whole thing would be to... make just fix the nominating committee, and not in terms of, like, distribution, just have smarter people be nominating these
yeah.
movies and have the best movies of the year actually be nominated.
Because
that's the reason that I don't watch, because I don't give a shit about Spotlight. I don't want to, like, see that movie vie against 6 other movies I didn't care about and 2 I thought were good.
Yeah.
Like, that, it doesn't appeal to me as a person who likes movies. I want to see, like, if you don't have a justifiable argument for, like, why The Revenant is the best film of the year, it shouldn't be nominated for Best Picture. And that just, like, it disqualifies the Oscars as, like, a
indicator of quality.
What
else did you want to see nominated besides Creed?
Besides Creed? I can look at my list. You keep talking, though.
Okay. Because, yeah, I think it's... I definitely think the Oscars are not culturally relevant at all.
Certainly not.
But I also, like...
But have they ever been?
Yes.
But
in the 70s.
I was going to say, maybe since 1980, probably.
Well, if you look at... my favorite example of this is Kramer vs. Kramer. Because Kramer vs. Kramer in 1979 was the number one movie at the box office.
Is this your, like, turning point Oscars in which...
I feel like the turning point has happened relatively slowly.
Okay.
But, like, Kramer vs. Kramer is a good example because, like, it's basically an original domestic drama. Like, there's no special effects, there's no action. It's not a sequel to anything. It was the number one movie of its year, and it, like, swept the Oscars in 1979. And, like, I think it's a great movie, and, like, but it beat Apocalypse Now, All
sure.
That Jazz, like, all these other great movies were nominated. I just think Hollywood is actually becoming less and less relevant. Like, I'm not actually sure if it's the Oscars. Like, I think we're just moving towards television, and I'm actually a pessimist. Like, I think in, like, 10 or 15 years, like, movies as, like, distributed in theaters, like, aren't going to exist anymore,
well,
except for tentpoles.
Probably.
Like, I just think it's going away, so.
You're talking to the guy who saw Hateful Eight at the Roadhouse show. If they close down all the movie theaters, they'll have nothing to do. But I think you're entirely right. Like,
yeah.
Talent flight is real, as you, as a playwright, I'm sure know. And, I mean, as a person, as an aspiring novelist, like, I feel like Paul Thomas Anderson, Matthew Weiner, these people would have been novelists or playwrights, like, before
yeah.
movies, and now the commercial draw and the audience draw is so much stronger there. But as you said, now that talent is now going to TV.
Yeah.
And soon it'll be, like, going to streaming series. And it'll continue until there's no talent left.
So in a way, there's, like, no need to award the best. Because, like, most of the stuff is just going to be shit. Like, I'm actually... Yeah. It's amazing to me that, like, they could even find, like, 8 movies that, like, were not sequels or, like,
no, it's temples. And obviously, as you said, Kramer versus Kramer was sort of in, it's like right after Empire Strikes Back, and that's sort of when the blockbuster mentality begins to take over, and you don't...
Empire Strikes Back was the year after.
Yeah, you don't have these, like, mid-major movies anymore, like Kramer versus Kramer, or even English Patient, or these sort of in emotional dramas, or epic dramas, more it's now just, like, epic... nonsense.
Two extreme tiers. You have the big $200 million movie, and you have the tiny, like, $10 million indie.
Yeah.
And so, like, a movie like Lincoln is actually super rare, because that movie is, like, an $80 million budget.
Right.
But it's an art... It's an artistic picture.
Yeah. But you need Steven Spielberg to get that financed.
And they barely got it financed. It was actually going to be on HBO. And I think they finalized at the last minute that it would get, like, a distribution.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Lincoln's not bad. I would want Sicario nominated, Creed nominated, Inside Out nominated, and Ex Machina nominated.
Yeah. And those all, I think, were in contention. And they weren't... I mean, they were never, I think, going to make it in. Like, they were always on the outside of it. But they were... Ex Machina actually did surprisingly well with Guild.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Because they expanded the field after Dark Knight wasn't nominated in terms of, like, we want to have we want to represent genre, and we think genre is important in film, and then they don't have any genre, like, except Mad Max, I guess.
Yeah, and Mad Max is a very unconventional choice.
Mad Max is basically an art film. an art epic. So we're obviously saying the Oscars are no longer relevant. I would say, like, the last Best Picture... I, like, went back and looked through all the Best Picture nominees and stuff. Like, the last movie that I thought was actually the Best Picture of the year that won Best Picture might have been Amadeus.
Really?
Yeah.
Not 12 Years a Slave?
I didn't. I thought 12 Years a Slave was, like, a B+.
Oh, okay. I thought that was, like, the Best Picture of the year. And I almost feel like when that won, I almost had to sacrifice something. Like, having that win and be the actual Best Picture of the year means I have to sit through, like, 10 years of, like, terrible Best Picture
winners. Did Steve McQueen win Best Director?
No, which was a huge disappointment.
Maybe that's why.
Alfonso Cuarón won for Gravity.
Gravity, right, which, you know, required no direction. fascinating.
Yeah, I didn't like Gravity either.
I would have totally given him Best Director, but the movie itself felt as if it... I knew everything that was going to happen, and it was preaching to an audience, in a way. It was preaching to, like, Oscar voters. Not in, like, I don't know if I want to call it Oscar bait. It felt as if, like, oh, if Steve McQueen was going to direct a Slave movie, this is exactly what it would be like, and I didn't feel surprised ever in the movie.
I guess that's fair. For me, like, that and Return of the King were the last two times I thought, like, the best movie of the year won Best Picture.
Return of the King with the Ghost Army? It's ridiculous.
What do you even get the Ghost Army?
They should have given it to Fellowship, and then,
They had to give it to A Beautiful Mind that year, right? Everyone remembers that movie.
R.I.P. your predictions for the five major categories.
So I think The Big Short is going to win Best Picture.
That's my prediction as well.
Because it won the Producers Guild Award, and they vote on a preferential ballot system.
You enjoyed that movie?
I didn't hate it. It's not The Revenant, so I'm fine with it winning.
It obviously has a coherent message and an aboutness, and all the performances are adequate.
I thought Steve Carell was terrible.
He's horrible in that. He's not good in Foxcatcher. He's, like, trying to make this Jim Carrey turn from comedy to drama, and it's not working at all.
Jim Carrey should just come back.
Jim Carrey should be the... Oh, it's strange, because when I was watching they have a documentary on Netflix now about Foxcatcher Farms, and the guy actually looks kind of like Jim Carrey, and I was like, why wouldn't Jim Carrey? But then I remember, like, oh, Jim Carrey's ruined his career, like, becoming as, like, anti-vax. And
I really worry about Jim Carrey a lot.
He seems to have a lot of psychological issues.
I want him to be okay.
Yeah.
Big Short, I think, is, like, a decent movie. Like,
it's functional. It's extremely uneven, and the editing is way too flashy for its own good.
Yeah.
I think it actually explains things in a horrible way, in which it's, like, trying to, like, elucidate complex financial topics, and I actually end up being more confused than when they start talking. It's like, here's Margot Robbie in a bathtub explaining you about shorting stocks. And it's like, nope, it's still confusing. Like, you need...
I like the Christian Bale section of it.
Yes.
Like, that section Bale part, is really nice.
I love that he listens to Mastodon and plays the drums. So we're both on Big Short for Best Picture, which is going, in my mind, is going to be, like, in 3 years, like, that movie is a 6. Why did that ever win? But then you look at the rest of the field and you're like, there's movies that cancel each other out. There's movies about women that will never win.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's the only one. I mean, the only other ones that can win are Spotlight and The Revenant. And, like, I would be okay with Spotlight winning, but I'll do whatever it takes for The Revenant not to win.
I can't imagine they give it to him after giving it to Birdman.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the prevailing psychology, I hope. Actor?
DiCaprio.
Same.
For getting dry-humped by a bear.
Terrible. Yeah. That's not acting. It was like, just aggressive existing.
Yeah.
Just, like, existing in the snow. And, I mean, was it a revenge? Was it supposed to be a revenge movie? Was it supposed to be a man versus nature movie? I didn't know. The movie never told me what it was about.
Yeah. I hope he apologizes.
So, yeah, DiCaprio should apologize. Best actress?
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. Totally worked. I mean, we'll get that one right. Supporting?
I'm saying Sylvester Stallone, but he's not nominated for the SAG Awards, and if Mark Rylance wins the SAG Award, he could win. But I still think it's going
to
be Stallone.
Do you think the Oscar voting body knows enough about the theater world to give Rylance a sort of outside do?
Well, I think he's in a very, like, prestigious Oscar movie. He's in a Steven Spielberg movie.
Right.
I think he's also very good in the movie. And, yeah, he has, like, 3 or 4 Tony Awards. Like, he's very beloved.
I'll stay Stallone. I have not seen Bridge of Spies. I hear there's a great scene in which there's a bunch of spies on a bridge.
Yes, it's a very good scene.
But I'm going to say stick with Stallone.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, Stallone too.
He did win one for Rocky? For acting? Or
for
no?
Producing. He's never won for acting.
He wrote Rocky and directed it too, though, right?
He didn't direct it. John G. Alvinson directed it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He won the Best Director Oscar that year.
Okay. And Supporting Actress.
I think Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl. But I'm, like, kind of hoping that Kate Winslet's going to win for Steve Jobs. Mostly because I think, like, if
you
Kate, and Leo, Kate and Leo won Oscars in the same year, like, how fun would that be?
That would be miserable.
It would almost make it worth Leonardo DiCaprio winning.
I can't even remember. The Reader? Is that the movie she won for?
Yeah.
Wow, that movie was so basic. Sorry to fans of The Reader.
I just really like movies about female fascists.
That's true.
Like, Prime Miss Jean Brody is a great movie. Like, it's, like, my favorite genre.
I've actually never seen the movie. Incredible book, though.
Yeah, it's a great movie, book. Great play.
I have McAdams.
That's not going to happen.
She seems like the one who doesn't have one, and I didn't see Danish Girl, and I thought Kate Winslet was horrible in Steve Jobs. She has this, like, Eastern European accent that she puts
on. Being a father is supposed to be the best part.
Her entire role is coming into a room and updating his, like, schedule. It's like 4 o'clock, and it's like, it's very fucking stupid.
Yeah, I feel like Vikander is the one to beat. I feel pretty confident about that, actually.
Has she won for other?
She won the Critics' Choice Award, and I think she's going to win the SAG Award on Saturday.
Do you know what her role even is in the movie?
The wife of a man who transitions.
Okay.
She's a supportive wife.
She's a supportive wife.
Which is, like, the most common
in this movie's
category.
Yeah.
Like, the supporting actress category is
basically supporting
the
wife,
best supporting wife award.
So, yeah. All those people are white. That's my transition.
That's your transition?
To the Oscars So White backlash. What are your general thoughts about it? Where does the blame fall?
So I think that This has been sort of building for 2 years, right? Because we've had 2 years of all-white Oscars. And I actually feel like what happened
after 12 Years a Slave.
After 12 Years a Slave. And I feel like what happened last year is actually extremely different than what is happening this year.
I agree.
So, like, Selma, for example, last year, which didn't get a Best Director or a Best Actor nomination.
Though it should have.
That was racist.
Yes.
like, that was, like, straight up racist, right? Because, like, that movie checked every single box of Oscar nominees. It got all the Guild support. It's based on a true story. It's historical.
It's fucking
uplifting.
Incredible.
Yeah. So, like, even if you take off quality, like, it checks certain, like, Oscar movie boxes. And it didn't get in for director, actor. And so, and I basically think that that didn't get in because people were like, well, we already gave it
to
12
Years
a Slave.
Right.
And 12 Years a Slave, I actually think, caused a lot of problems because I don't think the Academy really liked 12 Years a Slave. I think they wanted to give it to Gravity. And there's a lot of pressure, I think, to vote for it. And I think now they're like, well, we can't always be PC or we can't always, like, make the more diverse choice.
Well, your entire job is to legislate quality.
Yeah.
And 12 Years a Slave is a 50 times better movie than Gravity.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Selma is a 50 times better movie than whatever. What Birdman.
Birdman.
Oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
God.
So I think that, like...
To make these... To have these psychological, like, breakdowns and arguments of these people who aren't able, aren't even able to recognize objective quality in a movie is sort of, like, why are you even trying to put these people in, like, any sort of intelligent or logical zone?
And some also got screwed because there was a campaign against it that said that the movie was too critical of Lyndon Johnson.
Right.
Which was a lie. But, like, remember, like, the people who vote for the Academy are liberals, but they're oldie-timey 60s liberals.
Sure.
So they're like, Lyndon Johnson, he was the most amazing president, you know.
Excellent impression.
Yeah. Sorry for that slightly like anti-Semitic impression, but like I'm Jewish, so it's okay.
Oh yeah, you're fine.
And so that was like a case of like, okay, something is up. This year I feel more like there weren't really a lot of like contenders that were people of color.
It's Creed, and that's...
And Creed was not really a contender. Like, it wasn't campaigned for... It was not...
Idiotically not complete.
It was not in the guilds. The only person... The only actor of color who actually legit got snubbed was Idris Elba for Beasts of No Nation. Because he was...
And Michael B. Jordan.
But Michael B. Jordan wasn't nominated for, like, a Golden Globe. He wasn't nominated for a SAG Award. Like, I think he should be in there. I think he should win. But if you think about statistically, like, did he ever have a chance? Like,
right.
He didn't really.
The Oscars Daily.
Yeah.
Where they put the little tabs next to the names.
Whereas, like, Idris Elba, like, I actually predicted him as, like, a lock to be nominated, and he wasn't. And I think that has more to do with the fact that his movie was released on Netflix.
Sure.
So...
Which is sort of, to jump to Chirac, that Chirac was released by Amazon Films.
Yeah.
I feel as if there is a prejudice against these streaming services.
Yeah, because they're fearful of them. They're afraid of them. Excuse me. So, yeah, I think that this year, it's different. So I'm not as outraged by it because I understand, like, well, this wasn't going to happen anyway. But I do think that the protests are good. I think they're serving a good purpose.
No, it's important.
And I think that the changes are good that they've made to the membership. Like, I think that's smart. Because the problem is that they have too many people voting for Oscars who don't make movies anymore.
Sure.
And who haven't made a movie since 1970. So, like, we have to kind of get rid of those people.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, they have no idea about relevancy or what's, as we said, sort of the vanguard now. Like, the old vanguard has become the institution, and that's when it becomes a problem if you're trying to, as we said, legislate quality. But you also can't, as you said, like, what movie is going to get nominated for Best Picture except Creed? Like, you can't nominate...
Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton, but I think that's more like a straight-to-VH1 movie that's got put into theaters.
Straight Outta Compton, and this is actually a reform I wish they would make... The Best Picture field needs to be, like, there has to be 10 nominees every year.
Sure.
Now you can have between 5 and 10.
This sliding scale
It doesn't work.
Stupid.
It's so dumb. Stupid. They should just make it 10, because I guarantee you if they'd had 10, the other two nominees would have been Carol and Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
And that would have served everyone, I feel like.
Yes. But instead you have, as you just, like, this stupid fucking sliding scale, like, oh, and then you have to predict how many nominees they're going to be.
Oh, trust me. It's if you predict the Oscars, like, it's a nightmare, because you never know. The past 2 years we've had 8. So,
and how does it set a precedent? Like, if you have 10, when was the first year they had 9, I think, the first year they expanded, and then it was 10?
Well, they started with, the first 2 years of it, you had to have 10.
Okay.
And if you look at the first year they had 10, you actually had a pretty wide range of nominees. You had District 9.
Yeah.
You had Precious. You had A Serious Man, which I feel like is a film that would never normally be in contention.
The best Coen Brothers movie.
It's such a good movie.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Absolute masterpiece.
So, I feel like 10 nominees is the right amount, and I wish they would go back up to that.
They should.
And that would, like, what they're doing now to fix it will fix it, I think, over time. But 10 nominees would fix it next year.
All these people dying would certainly fix things, too. It's like everyone born before 1980 just dropped dead, and we don't have to worry about this shit anymore. But yeah, I don't know what would be nominated besides Creed or Straight Outta Compton. I guess Chirac would be, like, the...
Probably not, though.
Certainly not. That movie's a very lively mess, but an absolute mess. But as I was never disengaged with it.
But I think Creed is really good, but, like, Selma is, like, was on a different level. Like, it just was.
Well, Creed is obviously, like, entertainment before art, and then Selma's art before entertainment.
Yeah.
And obviously has a much more historical relevancy. But Creed, at the same time, has a relevancy in terms of, like, film tradition. Like, Rocky won Best Picture.
Yeah.
And it's rebooting it for a new generation. But I think, these people are older, and I think a part of this racism is also ageism, and they're not interested in sort of younger people's stories.
True.
And that kind of gets lost in the fold. And there's, I mean, reading the New York Times is like reading an anti-millennial screed magazine. It's like these insane articles about Hillary Clinton. It's like, millennials are notoriously distrustful of institutions, and Hillary is the institution. Like, well, all the institutions are broken, so yeah. Shouldn't we be distrustful of them? I don't know. It seems there's so many different places to place the blame that placing it in one place, like, oh, this is just old white people, but it's like it's misinformed people. It's people who don't see all the movies. There's so many systemic
issues.
Most
people don't see the movies before they vote.
Right.
So it really matters.
Or they're seeing them on a laptop. And
which is how you do it. And what really matters, frankly, is like the campaign. And Creed didn't have an expensive campaign. So it's like they didn't think about that.
Which shouldn't matter. And I guess this was sort of like Weinstein with American Beauty was kind of the first movie that really... Like
Weinstein with Shakespeare in Love.
Okay, it was the first one that, like, that super was like campaigned. The, that sort of...
Weinstein was like the master of that. I mean, that's how King's Speech won.
Well, King's Speech is a good movie.
You're wrong. That opinion is the incorrect opinion. Do you know that I once didn't go on a second date with a boy because he thought that King's Speech deserved to win Best Picture?
And well, I don't think it deserved to win Best Picture, but I thought it was a perfectly fine period piece.
I don't feel like we should ever make movies about British people in World War II ever again.
He had a stutter. You know how hard it is? It's difficult.
Cool.
How do you think the Oscars have handled the backlash thus far?
Yeah, I think that this new procedure is good. Should I explain a little bit about what that is? Is that something
you should? I have no idea what you're talking about.
So they basically have done it to be a voting member of the Academy, to vote on the Oscars. You have 10-year terms. So you're inducted in, you have a 10-year term, and then you have to renew it.
Okay.
And in order to be renewed, you have to have been active in the last 10 years. And then you get renewed for another 10-year term. And if you get 3 10-year terms, you have lifetime voting privileges. And those rules are for new members, but they're also applied retroactively.
Oh.
So if you are someone who hasn't worked in the industry since, like, 1970, you can't vote for the awards anymore. Unless you've been nominated or have won in the past. Then you have lifetime membership.
Okay.
So I feel like... This will help. Like, there's this... I can't remember her name. Her name is Dolores Hart. She's an actress who used to make movies in the late 50s, and now she's a nun. But she has voting privileges in the Oscars. So she watches the screeners, like, with her nuns, like, in her convent. I'm sure she's a lovely woman, but, like, she should not vote for the Oscars.
Is she the target demo for Creed? Or Straight Outta Compton?
Would that be amazing, though, if she like, only voted for, like, Creed and Straight Outta Compton and Sicario?
I mean, I imagine those nuns loving Chirac.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you want as diverse, a diversity that reflects the American diversity, and they don't have that currently. They've made, I think, some of the steps have been condescending in a way.
Yeah.
The way that they say, you know, like, we're going to put more black people, we're going to have more black people vote. It's like, well, it's not that just black people are only going to vote for black people.
Yeah, that's not really going to fix it.
No, but as you said, I think age is a huge part of it, and when you grew up, and, you know.
That will fix it.
Yeah.
But the thing that confuses me is that if you look at the Oscars, like, 10 years ago, they were actually doing really well. Like, a lot of African-American actors were winning. There were a lot of African-American actors getting nominated. And when Denzel Washington and Halle Berry won in the same year, it actually, like, promoted more African-American actors. Like,
sure.
Forest Whitaker, Jamie Foxx, Morgan Freeman, Monique, they all won. John Cheadle was nominated, Jaimin Ansu. And so I'm wondering, like, what has caused it to move backwards?
Obama.
Probably. It is Obama.
It probably, like, what's the rise of country, like, popular country, like, why is country music now like a stadium music? It's like, it's Obama, and it's like a white fear of this black man having power over us, and we have to then, you know, correct this great sin against, like, our white country. It's like, why does this black person have all the power, and how are we going to ratchet that power back?
I also think they were just really mad they had to vote for 12 Years a Slave. I think, like, honestly, like, they don't deserve 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, 12 Years a Slave is an amazing movie. But.
And it's so... The funny thing is it's a very Oscar-y historical story, but, like, the way it's made is actually so not Oscar, and it's so not their taste.
It's an art film.
Yeah, exactly.
Shame.
I love Shame.
While we're on the subject of Steve McQueen.
Carrie Mulligan needs to pick up her makeup Oscar for that movie.
She did her own makeup?
No, like a makeup, like, she needs to be awarded
Oscar.
Retroactively.
Great incest movie.
Yeah.
Really good incest movie. That there should be an Oscars category for incest.
Best incest movie. Yeah. Is that how you would fix the ceremony?
Yes, that would be my main thing. I would have like a lot of like in sports they're called prop bets. So during the Super Bowl, it's like who will catch the third pass, and you can bet on these type of things.
Oh.
If there were like prop categories for like best performance under 10 minutes in a movie or these sort of.
I would legit if there was like live gambling happening during the Oscars. Like,
well, there is gambling in Las Vegas on the nominees.
There is, but yeah. not on like. Who's gonna thank this person, or like, how long will this montage be? Like,
you can bet on the coin flip in the Super Bowl. Like, you should be able to bet on over. Anything. I think you can bet over unders on like how long the monologue is.
Yeah,
how long the best speech will be. Or how long the best picture speech will be. Pardon me. What would it take for you to boycott the Oscars? Do you
support the Revenant winning? Honestly, and actually, I would probably never boycott the Oscars. Like. Being, like, in a relationship with the Oscars...
What if there was a year when no Jews were nominated? Would you then boycott the Oscars?
Of course I wouldn't boycott the Oscars. Like, I mean, honestly, but, like, being... I feel like I have a very long-term relationship with the Oscars. I've been watching them obsessively since, for, like, 14 years. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is a somewhat, like, abusive relationship. Like, I had to sit...
Well, those are usually the most intense ones.
Yeah, like, I had to sit through Crash winning Best Picture. I had to sit through Hilary Swank winning Best Actress for Million Dollar Baby. I had to watch...
But you were fine with Hilary Swank winning for Boys Don't Cry?
That's more acceptable.
Okay.
I had to watch Jennifer Lawrence beat Emmanuel Riva for Amour. That was awful.
Unbelievable.
So, like, it would take a lot for me to boycott, but I actually do legit think the Revenant winning might make me
might
boycott.
Push you over the edge.
I loathe that movie.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It is horrible.
So when it won the Golden Globe, I had a heart attack.
But the but the lens fogs up when it's like hot and cold. It sucks. So it's absolute compensatory like technical bullshit. I do already boycott it. That's what it would take for me to.
Yeah. What was the last one you watched?
The last one I watched was when 2006 maybe when Babel won Golden Globe. I was actually in
that was the year Departed won Best
Departed
Picture.
One. Yeah. That was probably the last time I
watched. It was a good year though because Martin Scorsese won and it was like nice.
That's bullshit too. I hate these makeup Oscars.
I don't know. I feel like they. I wish they weren't necessary, but they kind of are necessary in a weird way.
Just get it right the first time. But like Kubrick doesn't have one. Paul Thomas Anderson doesn't have one. Yeah. Wes Anderson's never even been nominated.
Yes, he was. He was nominated for Grand Budapest.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, that should have won Best Picture last year. Do you want to do the Oscars quiz now?
Let's do it.
So maybe you should preface with saying your special talent.
Yeah, okay, so I've memorized all the Oscar winners in the major categories ever, and I know all the nominees from, like, 1950 onwards.
Well, you know all the nominees from 1950 onwards? That I didn't know.
And picture director and the four acting categories.
So I started with some easy ones, and they get progressively harder, and then you have a bonus round in which you have to name all the nominees in a category.
Okay, great.
Best Supporting Actress, 2011.
Can I just ask real quick before we do this?
Yeah.
Is it 2011 the year of the ceremony or 2011 the year of the movie?
The ceremony.
The year of the ceremony? So then if it was the year of the ceremony, 2011 is Melissa Leo in The Fighter.
That's correct.
Right, okay.
Best Picture, 1930.
That would be All Quiet on the Western Front.
That's correct. Best Actor, 1963.
Gregory Peck, To Kill a Mockingbird. Wait, no, because that's the year of the ceremony?
Yes.
So it's the 63 ceremony?
Uh-huh.
That is Gregory Peck for To Kill a Mockingbird, because he won in 62, so that would be the 63 ceremony.
Who had the year after?
Sidney Poitier for Lilies of the Field.
That's correct. Yeah. I took this up on Wikipedia. They probably have it different.
It's tricky with Oscar quizzes.
Yeah, sorry. We're going to give you credit.
Yeah.
You're 3 for 3 so far.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress, 1991.
That would be Whoopi Goldberg for Ghost.
See, what's the year after?
Mercedes Rule for The Fisher King.
Maybe I'm going to add a year to each.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress, 1946.
I'm going to do it the year of not the year of the ceremony, I'll do it the year they won. Anne Baxter for Razor's Edge.
Do the year after?
Celeste Holm, Gentleman's Agreement.
2 years before?
Anne Revere, National Velvet.
That's correct. Yeah, I don't know, this, mine says 1945 Best Actress, Anne Revere, but you obviously know all three, so it doesn't matter. Best Director, 1974.
Francis Ford Coppola, Godfather Part II.
Year before?
George Roy Hill, The Sting.
That's correct, that's the one I was looking for. One after?
Milos Forman for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Best Director, 1937.
Liam McCary, The Awful Truth.
That's correct. Best Supporting Actor, 1994.
Martin Landau, Ed Wood.
Correct. Best Supporting Actor, 37.
Joseph Schildkraut, Life of Emile Zola.
That's correct as well. Can you name all 10 Best Picture nominees from the 2010 Oscars?
2010 Oscars? Sure.
This is, of course, the one in which your favorite movie won.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay. So, the 2010, 127 Hours, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone.
That's correct. Yeah, 10 for 10. I didn't get a prize for you.
Fine.
Do you wanna,
this is prize enough.
Yes. What do you, do you have some sort of, like, show-off thing? Do you want to do, like, a list of nominees from a certain year?
I could do, like, the list of, like, best, like, an actor, actress for, like, a sort of, like, an obscure year.
Can you name, like, all the best supporting actresses from the 80s?
The winners or the nominees?
The winners.
Yeah, because the nominees would take too long. So, okay, we'll start with 1980. So it goes Mary Steenburgen and Melvin and Howard, Maureen Stapleton, Reds, Jessica Lange, Tootsie, Linda Hunt, The Year of Living Dangerously, Peggy Ashcroft, A Passage to India, Angelica Houston, Pritzi's Honor, Diane Wiest, Hannah and Her Sisters, Olympia Dukakis, Moonstruck, Gina Davis, The Accidental Tourist, and Brenda Fricker, My Left Foot.
Where does Moonstruck, very impressive, where does Moonstruck rank on your all-time romantic comedy power rankings?
Kind of low.
Low?
I'm not a huge fan of it.
We're ending the podcast.